Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I want to welcome you back to Sling Stones. I pray things are going well with you. We're having an absolutely gorgeous day here in Ohio. Sun is shining, very, very pleasant temperature out. It's a good day to be thinking about the Lord. I want to remind you of a couple upcoming events that are taking place. If you go to the HCMI website, you can get information about the upcoming Come to the Table conference. Dr. Kurt Thompson will be one of the speakers, as will I. There'll be workshops. It's going to deal with spiritual direction, issues of shame, and so forth. You can go onto the HCMI website, get that information. It's going to be held in Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be the last weekend of August. I know that's a ways off, but if you're a planner, you can get everything signed up and ready to go to that. Also, if you're interested, I'm going to be down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, doing the Warrior Connection. That's an event sponsored by Berean Church, Berean Baptist Church, Joe High, Arlie Griffin, Dr. Arlie Griffin, and Byron Benton, wonderful, wonderful men of the Lord. And they hold this annually. It's for men. It's a three-day event. We talk about identity and what it means to be blessed by our Heavenly Father. It's called the Warrior Connection Experience. If you're interested, look it up on the web. You'll find information about how to register. And I'm sure that you'll have a great experience there. Having gone through a long season with my parents, I brought them here to Ashland, Ohio, to assisted living almost exactly 3 years ago. My dad's doing well. He is declining some in health. Always has a great attitude. My mother has been struggling now for 4 years with Alzheimer's, and I've had to put them in separate facilities. My dad's in assisted living. My mom is actually under nursing care now in a nursing home in an Alzheimer's unit. It's been a hard journey. And it's very difficult to walk this out with someone, especially someone you love. It's as if they were at one time this wonderful, fully leaved tree, and now you watch every day some of the leaves fall to the ground, never to be recaptured again. And the other day I found myself, well, somewhat down about it. That's normal. It's important that we lament and grieve. And I know that God heard my prayer, and here's my prayer every day as I pray about this. But on this particular day, I could feel my mood was shifting. And it was almost as if an oppression had come in upon me. And I recognized very quickly that if I don't catch this, this could spin me into a place where it would be harder to choose out of. I went to prayer, and of course, in my prayer, I asked the Lord to help me and to lift this. But in the middle of my prayer time, I heard the Lord speak into my heart so clearly, and all he said was, "Terry, choose praise. Terry, choose praise." Now, I know the Lord wasn't being trite about this. He wasn't saying, simply count your blessings and forget what's going on with your mother. The Lord's always giving me the right to grieve and to talk to him about the struggle and the disappointments. He didn't want me to pretend that it was better than it is or be silent about my own heartache. That wasn't part of it. The Lord's always been very clear with me that I have an opportunity to really share with him what is troubling my heart. And if there is a loss, that I need to grieve it. And he's received that with a tender heart. But what the Lord was saying was, in the midst of this sorrow, make sure you take time to go ahead and to be thankful and to give praise to the Lord. Now, that's an obvious admonition, but it had a profound impact on me, because as I began to choose and to select things great and small to give him thanks for, even though I was holding in the one hand this very difficult situation with my mom that does involve loss and grief and sadness, I could feel myself, well, if you will, filling the other hand with things to be thankful for and reminders of God's constant intervention into my life. And so I wondered if it might be something to share with you, this journey into praise, this decision to choose praise when life is more difficult. I was in church recently, and the worship team began to sing a song that is very powerful. It's written by Carrie Job. It's called Love Came Down. Let me read some of the lyrics. If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I'll remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your son. Boy, Arthur's powerful lyrics. The whole idea that when the heart is overwhelmed, we want to come back to what we know to be true of how God holds our lives and that our life is a gift that's come because of Jesus Christ. And then the chorus that was written, love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, Lord. I'm forever yours. Mountains high, valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours. This is very psalm-like. It's very similar to a situation when an individual is facing a very difficult battle and they make the decision to go ahead and to give praise to the Lord. Now, if you're like me, there are times when I'm really struggling. I don't feel like praising the Lord. But if I could learn that there's something very powerful about praising the Lord, that it begins to affect me at multiple levels. One of my favorite authors is a neuroscientist, a psychiatrist. His name is Daniel Siegel. I've read numerous books that he's written. It's very excellent material on counseling and particularly neurobiology. And he talks about the different domains of the brain. And one of the domains of the brain that he feels is very important that we understand is called state integration. Now, state integration means that we can be in more than one emotional state at a time. And that it's important that we know that so that we can walk through, if you will, a time of difficulty and negative emotion by leaning on our story that has a positive narrative to it, on positive emotions. You know, when many people struggle, one of the mistakes they make, and I've made it also, is they begin to define their emotional state as an identity statement. For example, many people seldom say, I'm experiencing depression, I feel depressed. They'll say, I am depressed. Or I am angry, I am down. And those are really identity statements. And what we want to be able to do is to be very careful that when we're struggling to first name it as a feeling, name it as a trial, name it as a difficulty, but don't name it as an identity definition for ourselves. But the other thing that Daniel Siegel talks about is the fact that when we are experiencing a negative emotion, if we are able to just step back a little bit, we can find there are some positive feelings that are inside of us and that we can lean into these positive feelings as a way of helping us walk through the difficulties. That we begin to find that even in a time of wilderness, we're able to embrace the beauty of God and the reminder of God's care, of His promise to be with us, of the fact that He watches over us, that He longs, as it says in Isaiah, to be gracious to us, and that He wants to rise up to show us compassion. These are really important teachings, great words from the Lord that can help us when we begin to experience a moment in time or a season in time where the difficult trial of our life begins to weigh heavy and we feel almost an oppression. And by the way, the evil one can see when we're experiencing this level of depression, and often he weighs in. Yeah, there can be a spiritual component to this, a very negative, dark spiritual component. The evil one doesn't play fair. And so when he sees a place where you may be struggling, or a disappointment, or a loss, boy, he can weigh in right there. And he weighs in such a way with these accusations and phrases that can take us to a deeper state. And there's something about praise that really combats this. My goodness, this is all over Scripture. One of my favorite scriptures and stories is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Moab and Ammon were coming against Jehoshaphat, and they were bringing their army to bear. And Jehoshaphat had gone through to get all the advice he could as to how to go through and to combat this battle. But when he went to prayer, what God said to him is, put the choir out in front. What? That sounds absurd. Why would you have a choir out in front? Because God knew that there is power in praise, and that praise not only unleashes heaven, but it can weaken the power of the evil one. So Jehoshaphat puts the choir out in front, and when he does this, he's able to win the battle. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing before, except here in Scripture, but it's something for us to remember that there is a reason to go ahead and choose into praise. Choosing into praise is a biblical stance that in the midst of times when there is loss and grieving and trial and difficult and even attack from the evil one, there's something about praise that impacts us, that rearranges the way we look at things and helps us to push back the power of darkness. Now, I want to reiterate something. When God is calling us to choose praise, he's not saying to pretend like we're not in a difficult spot. No, we get to talk about that. We can lift it up. We can be clear. We can ask for his deliverance. But a stance of praise can make an amazing difference in people's lives. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 32. It's an interesting passage. Actually, it's not chapter 32. It's chapter 30, verse 32. And it says this, every stroke the Lord lays on his enemies will be to music, to the sound of timbrels and harps. Now, this is a spiritual principle here. There's a recognition that you and I need to embrace that praise is a weapon against the wiles of the evil one. And that if we're willing to choose, even when we don't feel like it, that something very, very positive can happen. I remember some years ago, there was an individual that came to me for some advice, some counsel, and they were going through a very difficult time. And I'll be honest with you, after hearing their story, I didn't know what to do. They talked about a long season of being in despair, that it was a very difficult time for them. And certainly I wanted to help them do what would be called solution-focused conversation of how to help them. I also wanted to be sure that if there were any wounds that were there that God wanted to deal with, that we would deal with that. But at the end of the conversation, I found myself simply saying, I'm gonna challenge you. Would you be willing for the next 3 days to go out of your way to give thanks for what God has done? They were kind of angry with me. They really were. They rose up to say, haven't you been listening to me? I've been going through a long season. I'm in despair. I'm having a hard time even putting one leg in front of the other, but you're telling me to go ahead and praise? Well, I tried to tell them that I wasn't in any way discounting the difficulty, but I said, I just want to challenge you with that. And you don't have to do it. Well, they left pretty well convinced it wouldn't make a difference. But the next day they decided that, well, what else am I going to do? Let's give it a go. And so they began to go to scriptures and read psalms of praise. And they looked into the hymns and lifted up songs of praise. And when I saw them the next time, they said it was amazing. A strength came over them, they said, that enabled them to move forward and to look at their circumstance from a different perspective. They decided to choose praise. It's not something that's trite. It's not something that is based on pretense. It isn't being silent about your heartache. It's choosing to invite God into this situation by giving him thanks for all the wonderful things he has done, and then watching him do even more. Psalm 8 is something that we need to look to for just a moment. In Psalm chapter 8, or Psalm 8, the Lord talks about the power of praise. And in the midst of it, he begins to talk about the fact that even the praise of children and infants can become a stronghold against enemies and can silence the foe and the avenger. Are you hearing me? Even the praise of infants. This is a spiritual principle. You've got to see, I hope, that, and I want to see it also, that praise is a weapon. It's not just a stance, but it's a penetrating weapon that can penetrate right into darkness. And that's something we need to embrace at times. And that's what I had to do and what I did do regarding the situation with my mom, which I still have to do because it's an honest struggle. There is legitimate loss. There are emotions of grief that God honors at the same time as that oppressive feeling comes in, the choice to praise. It's very clear in Scripture. It says here in Psalm 8 that it is a stronghold. Praise is a stronghold against the enemies. There's also a wonderful passage of Scripture that comes in Psalm 147. And that passage of Scripture is actually dealing with the fact that you got to see yourself as having multiple weapons when you're confronting the evil one. And in this case, the psalm says, let praise be on your lips and a sword in your hand. That's a pretty powerful image, isn't it? That this isn't a game. There's a real enemy out there. While that enemy is unseen, he can really weigh in on us. He can create an attitude and an atmosphere in our lives, in our homes, in our place of work, in the church. And God is saying, you got to choose the right weapon. And in this case, one of the weapons is the weapon of praise. Let the choir go before you. Let thanks become a stronghold for you. While you hold a sword, which is a weapon to push back the evil one, you also have praise on your lips for the wonder of God. Because it's part of us remembering greater is he that is within us than the one that is in the world. So let me encourage you. Why don't you think about ambushing the evil one with a song? Ambush the evil one with a word of thanks. Ambush the evil one by pointing to things that God has done as a reminder to you when you're facing something that is oppressive and that is difficult. Now, I'm going to suggest five things about praise. One of the things about praise is that it does change our perspective. It realigns our perspective. It reminds us of where God is and what God is doing, and the fact that even when we're not aware that he's there, that he is there, and that he can come and he can lift us up. So I need that perspective change. Sometimes my head is down looking at the problem so much I fail to gaze at God. But praise lifts my eyes and lifts my heart to God. And all of a sudden I get a new perspective. Let me give you another thing. It not only realigns our perspective, but there is a scripture that comes in Psalm 22 that basically says that God is enthroned. He is enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, I heard a long time ago that that's one of the ways that God begins to manifest himself, that as his people praise, God makes his throne in the midst of that praise. Now, throne means a place of rule. It means a place of authority. It's a place of power. And there are times when I can feel that I'm slipping down, that I need to feel God's rule, God's reign, God's authority, God's power. And praise becomes the way he enthrones that. A third thing that I would encourage you with praise is, for some reason, praise definitely pushes back the evil one. It's all through Scripture, and there are the testimonies of countless lives that can tell us that the evil one does not like to hear the wonderful things that Jesus Christ has done. He doesn't like it when God's children, in the midst of difficulty, start giving him praise and giving him thanks. because there's something about that that weakens his power. Well, isn't that exactly what you want to do? And so I encourage you to pray, to praise, to lift up his name. Also, I would suggest this. The Daniel Siegel's right that there's something about going into our story and finding the place of praise, a brain function, if you will, in state integration that has a positive impact on the brain. There must be a variety of chemicals that begin to connect, and all of a sudden we can feel an empowerment that comes to us because of this. Now, if you're like me, you're either coming out of a time of difficulty, in a time of difficulty, or certainly at some point will face another time of difficulty. I wanted to give this simple word, a word that I need right now. It's right out of my own circumstance and situation, and possibly a word you need. And that is, choose praise. Choose praise. It doesn't minimize your struggle. It isn't pretending. It isn't asking you to be silent. You get to be clear with God about how difficult a circumstance is, but at the same time, choose praise. If you're driving in the car right now, ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch your heart and to bring up to your mind things that you can be thankful for even now, that then can be a strength for you to handle what you're facing that's difficult. Maybe you're at home listening to this, preparing to have your devotions. Maybe you're sitting at your computer getting ready to work and you decide to listen to a podcast. Whatever it is, I want to ask you to choose praise. I believe God will do something great, lifting you up as you employ this weapon and find yourself close to the heart of God. Well, once again, I pray that you sense God's face shining on you and that his grace overwhelms you. God bless you.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And I will have you.